again, and welcome to another... Let me think. Is that this show?
That's not how it usually goes.
Okay. No, hang on. Wait. Hello again, and welcome to the Manipool. There we go. I had to reboot. This is... I don't even know, dude. I'm not with it. This should be 341 or 2?
Maybe.
Think it's 2? Should be 2. 342. I'm going to call it that, whether it's right or not. What was I saying? Yes, this is episode 342 of The Manipool, brought to you by Complete Lack of Sleep. Bear with me. We are also brought to you, as always, by CardShark.com, a better way to buy and sell magic. You should totally go there and buy some magic. They had con stuff up, like, way early.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I was like, oh, I bet they don't even have... Oh, they do. Oh, cool! Of course, the little card image pop-up thing wouldn't work because it wasn't Gathera yet. For some reason.
Huh.
Yeah, that was weird. I wonder if it's because of Standard, if that's why they're not putting these sets into Gatherer early anymore.
Wait, it was in Gatherer soon after the whole thing was up on the visual spoiler, like just the following Monday, I thought.
Really?
Yeah, it's been in Gatherer before today. I mean, something went wrong with Gatherer, and it's not showing some stuff as Standard that should be, but I don't know whether that's fixed yet.
I thought sometime... Either right before or right after the pre-release, I tried to look up some cons in Gather, and it was like, what? No.
Well, maybe it just took a few days later in that week, but I know it was in Gather at some point during the week after the pre-release.
Oh, okay. Well, that's better than nothing, then. I guess what with all the Magic Online drama going on over there, they're probably having issues getting anything done.
There's still drama?
Yeah, well, everyone still hates it, so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, so, enough of that. I am Chewy, your sleep-deprived lead dork, and... Do I have an and? I'm just the lead dork. God, I'm not with it. hey, other guys, you talk. I'm gonna zone out for a minute and eat my sandwich.
I'm Brian. I'm the lead rambler. I do not have a sandwich. I wish I did. Actually, I had Genghis Grill for dinner, so I'm good. And other than that, I don't really know that I have anything to say, because I'm going to talk a lot, so you'll hear me talking anyway.
For the record, I don't have a sandwich. I have a sandwich.
I don't want a sandwich. I just want a sandwich. And I, again, as we've discovered, I don't actually even need that, so I'm good. I would like some ice cream. Dark, bring me some ice cream.
Well, I guess I'll go next. So, I'm Dirk, the self-proclaimed greenest man alive and moral compass of the group. I do not want a sandwich. So yeah. Mike?
I'm Mike. I'm the rules guy and the game lore guy. And I used to have some pizza, but I ate it, so I no longer have it.
Hey, did whoever was getting ice cream bring me some too?
I told Trevor to do it.
Oh, thanks.
That's not the one with haste, right? So.
No, it's exactly. Not.
Okay.
So we're here to talk about magic.
Yay, magic.
And not Hearthstone.
Not Hearthstone. So real quick, Kickstarter update. I ordered the sleeves a while back, finally. They're still months out, so sorry. I finally got the finished art for the custom token, for the guy that got the custom token. And, you know, Jar sent him a sketch, and he had some changes, so Jar sent him another sketch, and he okayed it, and Jar's colored it, sent it to me. I got together with Lex, my designer, and we tokenified it. Tokenified, that's a good word. And I set to work getting everything ready to order the tokens, and I was going to order his batch first.
Excuse me, sorry.
Dang it, man. My initial plan was to just fold his into ours and, you know, eat the cost, but... It didn't actually work that way, because there are four of us, so our number had to be divisible by four, and throwing in an extra one completely screwed everything up. So either we were going to be left with an extra, I don't even know how many of one of us, or I just do it separately. So I was going to order his first to see if they send me a coupon. You know, hey, thanks for your first purchase. Here's a coupon to use on your second.
Suckers.
And it wouldn't take my credit card. In any way, shape, or form. It was like, nah. And so, after I got done picking my computer up from the other side of the room, I don't know if it's because of the address, because I live in an apartment, and, like it has to be exact, and I've typed it in every possible way, and it's not working. So I don't know. I sent them a message. They sent me one back. Like, use PayPal. I was like, my email said I don't want to use PayPal because I'd have to transfer money from A to B and from B to PayPal. I would rather just use the credit card. And they went, well, they didn't because their response was, use PayPal. I was like, thanks. So I'm going to figure that out and get all that ordered. I have ordered – well, I haven't ordered the playmats yet. They're sending me a sample swatch. Swatch. It's a fun word. But they're sending me a sample swatch so I can see exactly how it'll look and if anything, color balancing or bleeding or anything like that is a problem. So, yay.
Bleeding is constantly a problem with us.
It actually, yeah, I'm actually bleeding right now. This finger right here. But and I really wish I was kidding about that. But, so yeah, they quoted me shipping and I went, and I said, is there no other way? And then they quoted me cheaper shipping. And I was like, you crooks. They're like, oh, that was this way. We'll send it this method. It saves you a bunch of money, like a third of the money. I was like, yeah, that's, why don't you do that? Thank goodness that I had this presence of mind to complain.
Complaining gets you stuff.
It is. Apparently so.
Yeah.
So what was the first shipping method? They had like a team of mighty manservants carry it over there
to you? Yeah, actually. It's exactly Oh, I told you. Yeah, okay. Now it's just going by dog sled, and that's way cheaper.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So that is... Let's see. Is there anything else? Not for that. No, that's the news there. It's slowly but slowly coming together. Let's see. Oh, there's a few bits of news. Mike, that hum coming from you is bad again.
Well, I...
Let's see. The,
do much of anything.
Sorry. The Duel Dex Anthology, which is coming out in 12 days from this recording, is coming out, and the availability is going to be not quite as bad as the Commander's Arse, but probably a little bit better than the From the Vault, maybe right around the same. Mm-hmm. It's based on store level, so core level stores get 3 to 5, advanced level stores get 8 to 10, and advanced plus level stores get 12 to 15. So if you want the Duel Dex Anthology, you need to talk to your local store as soon as possible. So, yeah. And just as a reminder, that is the first four Duel Dex. Elves vs. Goblins, Jace vs. Chandra, Divine vs. Demonic, and Garrick vs. Liliana. Done up with the new card frame for, in theory, $100. I don't know if that's, if the, due to the rarity, if that's going to go up. I guess that depends on demand. I don't know. There was something else newsy. Oh, the banned and restricted list announcement happened. Nothing happened. So much nothing.
Fascinating.
Yes, so much nothing happened. They didn't even give us a little explanation as to why they didn't change anything. They were just like, nothing. But why? Nothing. Yeah, but no. Shut up. Nothing.
So. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, and that just seems really weird. Like all the other times when nothing happens, they at least say something. So yeah, we've been getting feedback here and there on this, that, and the other thing, but those things aren't actually all that bad, and we think it's cool, you know?
Yeah, like you jerks want this banned, but you're just butthurt because you keep losing to it, so shut up. So we're not going to ban that. And like that's what they really say is, format metagame looks healthy, which across all formats it really does. As much as we hated on Monday Night Magic talking about Mono Blue and Mono Black every week, there were lots of other decks that showed up other than those, and Legacy is always a crapshoot, and Modern is always a crapshoot, so, whatever. Why would you shoot crap? That seems messy. I don't know.
Pew pew.
And one more thing, for those that were looking for the Cons of Tarkir ebook or novella or, I don't know, print it on toilet paper so you can wipe your ass with it, none of that's happening. They're telling the story completely through the Uncharted Realms column on, it's not Daily MTG anymore. What is it now? Magic.wizards.com?
Yes.
Yeah, the mothership, as it's colloquially known. So, if you wanted to read that, well, you don't have to pay for it. You just have to wait and read in installments. Like, longer... There's less waiting and there's more installments than the previous ones, and chances are it'll be better quality.
He's not like any other special thing that they've discontinued, the fact that they've discontinued it means that people weren't buying enough of it to make it worthwhile.
Exactly. That, and they completely spoiled the very end. As soon as the book became available with the last one, they were like, so don't forget, you can go out and buy the last, what was it called? The last Theros?
Godsend, or?
Was that the last one?
Yeah, Godsend. Yeah.
You can go out and buy Godsend, and don't forget, Elspeth dies at the end. What?
Yeah, they managed that not good.
That was like day of. Good job, Wizards.
At the Pro Tour.
So, yeah, at the Pro, like, hey, you guys like Elspeth? Sucks to be you. anyway. Darth Vader's his father, Jesus dies at the end.
Soylent Green is, in fact, normal.
It's delicious.
King Kong falls off the building.
What? Man is the real monster. No!
They blew it all up.
My God, it's full of stars. Okay.
There goes the neighborhood. Actually, I guess the ending to Spaceballs is not, in fact, a twist.
What is this? I have themanipool.com open. Oh! Don't forget, every Monday on themanipool.com, you can check out Mike Okahara's Peculiar Flavor Roundup, which I thoroughly enjoy going in and reading before it gets posted. Ha 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 ha! Because he schedules it for, like, Monday afternoon. It's pretty great. What he does is he finds magic cards and then gives them new rejected flavor text. And given how much we love Mike's sense of humor, it's pretty awesome.
They're pretty good. I really did like the Nafs Asp one.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're not checking that out, please do, because it's funny. I also got, let's see, since we've recorded here, I got a new episode of Vegas up, and I got a new Random Card of the Day video up. That one was a lot of fun. On the next Random Card video, I'm going to have a guest. Spoiler alert, it's the Beardy Man.
Did you find that?
Did I find what?
Oh, the one we did on the live one, or are you talking about something else?
No, the ones we recorded when you came over that one time.
Huh?
You don't remember?
Well, it'll be a pleasant surprise to me, too. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Oh, my God. So that is everything I can think of to talk about that's unrelated to anything else. So, do we want to take a quick moment to talk about cons being legal now?
Sure. Huh. It's 18.
Yeah, it is. But everything about this is disturbing, and I like it.
Well, over the weekend, we saw the first Star City Open tournaments that involved cons of Tarkir, and the guys and I were discussing this prior to the show, and we determined, you know, that it's really nice how sometimes when a new block begins and we have a new format, sometimes you don't really see a whole lot of the new set making its way into Standard. You see more of the format that just ended. You see more of the powerful cards from the last season that are still in Standard. And this was not entirely the case this time. Now, there were two opens, and I only watched coverage for one because there only was coverage for one.
Yeah, this is their first ever double open weekend.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty weird.
Really? I could have sworn it's happened before.
No, they've done what they call a classic at the same time as an open before, but...
Oh.
This came straight from Connor, one of their directors, so...
Okay, yeah, sure, those are different things.
Well, when there's no coverage, they're only sort of different.
But, so for the one that I watched, it was a very different, format. It was Cons of Tarkir was everywhere in the top eight, watched lots of coverage, and, it was all over the place during the day prior to the top eight. Cause you know, the top eight is only eight players, but there was a lot of cons decks based around the new mechanics, the new wedges and clans and whatnot. So yeah, I watched coverage of a deck, a Jeskai deck. It was a Jeskai tokens deck, and it was stumbling a bit, and I could tell that, you know, it wasn't doing terribly well at the moment, but the pilot was already behind, so it was just like, well, okay. But he started to go off. It was something where he had out Jeskai Ascendancy and one guy, And he's like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and cast this one instant spell that increases my guy's power. The Jeskai Ascendancy increases his power and untaps him. And then I get to draw a card and then discard a card. And then the spell that he had played originally was a cantrip. So he did like 12 things from playing a one mana spell and did all this crazy stuff. But by then the opponent had Anissa out. So, yeah. So it was, still, it was really interesting. I wish I had maybe seen more of the deck like before that point. But, even still, I could tell it was really interesting and I was glad to see it doing well. Or hopefully doing well. It had the potential to do well, I guess I should say. So.
Yeah, the Jeskai Ascendancy combo. Nope, wrong tournament. It top 8 or top 16 or something at one of them. Because we talked about the standard version and went, that's weird.
Oh yeah, there's a combo version of it that uses Kiora's follower and stuff.
Yeah, it finished 24th in Indy. And it's a trip. The modern one is borderline broken. There's a modern version of it that just, we looked at it for a while last night like, really? This is unfair.
I didn't see it. What's the modern one do that the standard one does not? It
has lots of better spells and an actual win condition in Grapeshot, actually.
Oh, good old Grapeshot. Is there anything you can't do?
Deal two at a time, and yeah, it can do that too, never mind. Ooh, Hexproof! Ha! But yeah, so just running through the deck types in the top eight of each one, in Indy it was first and second were Abzan Midrange, which were a bunch of new cards. There were a red-green monsters deck in third that adapted a few. Some of them were... So there was a good batch of brand new deck archetypes, and old archetypes that just adapted and folded new cards in, like the Monsters, Green-Red Devotion, a Mono-Green Devotion deck that had some new stuff, a Naya Midrange deck, and I was like, wait a minute. You're not... Those are... What? That's not a Wedge. Another Mono-Green deck, and a Jund Monsters deck. And then in India, Jersey, which was the one that was televised, there was there was a Jeskai Tempo deck that won, a Mardu Midrange, I'm going to let that sink in, Mardu Midrange deck that looked really sweet.
Yeah, the one that came in second?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Green-Red Monsters, Green-Black Devotion, Green-Red Devotion, another Jeskai Tempo deck, which was actually fairly different, a Red-White Control deck, well, what? And another mono green devotion deck. But that was just the top eight of each one. There's all cut. Like, Brad Nelson took a Sultai Delve deck to 11th.
Because he's Brad Nelson.
I guess. It's just crazy. But yeah, the new. I can't wait for. When's the Pro Tour? Pro Tour is in like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what they come up with. Because that's really when the format. Like, you have these 2 weeks of the Goldilocks zone where everyone just tries stuff, and then the pros have a pro tour, and then everyone just copies those decks, and it's over. So.
Oh, it's sad because it's true.
It is.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that they're trying to, quote-unquote, fix with, you know, changing up the format. Having cards rotate every 18 months is you're going to have more periods of discovery, so to speak.
Yeah.
So.
Which will be nice.
Yes.
So that's... Yeah, if you're into Standard at all, it's a good time to be playing Standard. There are aggro decks of red and black and Mardu all running around that are just hit your face fast in the face. The Mardu Tokens deck, that looks like so much fun. Just hit you in the head until I die. Until one of us dies. Damn it, it better be you. Ouch. So yeah, looks good. Looks good.
I got to play the Mardu Ascendancy in a draft that I did with Brian, and it was very powerful. The one came where I got it to resolve.
Which Ascendancy is that?
That's the one where when your guys attack, they make a goblin buddy to attack with them.
Oh god.
And you can sacrifice the Ascendancy to give your guys +3 toughness until end of turn.
Yeah. I hear goblin buddies are pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's all right until they're sleeping on your couch every day.
Those little bastards. So let's see. Let's go on to more betterer things. Yeah. So we got an email. which for some reason my email's not open and it's taking for, I don't know what's up with my computer. I wonder if my computer forgot to sleep too. Ain't this a bitch? All right, so Stark Maximum sent us an email yesterday. So this is a quick turnaround for us. This is less than like 8 months. And I quote, "Hey, dork nerds. Hey, wait a minute. Just out of curiosity, if you four lived on Theros, assuming you existed as you are in our world, what Theros gods would you personally be devoted to? Assumedly Therans, Therans, is that right?"
Yes.
Because Therans sounds like a unit of measure.
like of radiation or something.
Yeah, yeah, like if you get 2,400 Therans at once, you're going to die. But assumedly, Therans generally venerate, the whole pantheon, but the story shows there's clearly acolytes and random Joes and Steves, not on the bus, there's no buses in Theros, that personally think one god is the raddest of the bunch. So who would those be for you personally? I'm sorry, I just realized he said the raddest of the bunch.
He's going to be laughing for a little while.
I have this picture of Kernos, like, with a skateboard now. Like, his hat on backwards, sagging his pants. Anyway. I'm sorry, Mogus would clearly be the one that was on the skateboard. So what do you guys think?
Well, I actually spent a little bit of time thinking about this, and I'm like, all right, well, everybody knows that when it comes to magic, I'm fairly chaotic. And if I'm worshiping anybody in magic, it's probably Keranos. But if we're actually saying, okay, we live on Theros, with my personality type, with the values that I hold as far as my own life, who do I follow? And generally, it's for me, it's probably either going to be Heliod or Afara. And I'm thinking, and part of that depends on my own experiences, of course, but I'm a pretty rules-following guy. It drives me crazy when people don't do things the way they should. I was telling Mike, like, when people on Main Street in High Point, there are two exits on each side of the road for 85, one north and one south.
Stop hitting the tables.
Each side. So you're going up toward downtown, there's an exit for south and north. And then if you're going toward Archdale, there's, once again, that it's so convenient. And what do? I see people all the time trying to cross the road to get into the ones that aren't curved, so you can't even really do that very well. And I'm like, ah! So the things like that, you know, people that drive the wrong way at the shopping, at the grocery store where they have the little painted arrows for which way you're supposed to drive, and one guy's going, I'm going to drive this way because it's closer to the exit or whatever. Wow, I guess I just don't like people that drive. But in any case,
I know how you feel.
I'm fairly, you know, type A. I'm a go-getter. And I'm one of those guys that I feel like as long as everybody follows the rules, then everybody gets along. It's funny that I'm a defense attorney, but hey, I make sure the rules are applied to my clients as well. So
glad you pointed that out, so I didn't have to.
I think the difference for me between Heliod and Afara is whether I've reading the books, knowing what I know about Heliod. He's a big hypocritical asshole.
He's kind of a dick.
and I think if, depending on what my knowledge of him was, because there's people that follow him in Theros that just think he's the bee's knees, because he's great and he's as close to the head of the pantheon as you can get. So hey, but Afara seems more compassionate. She's much more about order. When the gods imposed their silence, and then started waging war on the mortal world for what Elspeth did, which, you know, read the novel. Afara and Karametra were two of the only holdouts that did not say, hey, yeah, let's kill all the humans. They were more like, you know, it's cool, you know, let's all take a second. We didn't really see them play any part, but several people mentioned that the polises themselves were largely intact because of Afara. And one or two times they mentioned if Afara ever joined the other gods, it would probably be all over for the humans, because it's literally hitting you where you live. And the cities were one of the last places of refuge. So She's a little more compassionate. She's all about order and structure. It's the blue-white, I guess, aspect of her. And I think that's a god I can really get behind. So I'm probably going to go with Afara.
Oh,
follow the rules. And you will be rewarded.
By drawing a card. Yes.
I like drawing cards.
Well, what about one of your other two?
You go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, I spent a good time thinking about this earlier today. I almost got off track a few minutes ago when Chewie had me thinking about Karanos, like with, you know, tattoos and board shorts and this, that, and the other thing. But what I came to realize is that for me, based on my temperament, and you know, the answer to this question would have been very different a number of years ago, and then again a number of years before that.
Mogus.
Right now, I think I would definitely be most closely allied with Crufix, the god of horizons and mysteries and beginnings and endings. There's just something about the vast majestic mysticism of what he represents that just really appeals to me on a visceral level. Where I am right now in my life.
The unattainable knowledge, the eternal mystery.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. It's hard to explain. And lately I've been seeking out more experiences, especially with music and stuff, where I have that big, you know, majestic, mysterious experience to go for and draw me in and lose myself in. It's very appealing in a strange way.
Hearing you explain that, it's actually kind of perfect because I actually see that in you. And knowing you for a number of years now, I completely see where you're coming from. So that's cool.
Well, that's good to hear. That it makes sense. Nah, you're stupid, Mike. Pick another one. Hang on.
Yeah, like if Chewie picked Iroas, I'm gonna have to say, yeah. Who are you trying to impress?
Ladies.
Yes, but let's be honest. Instead.
Yeah, they're already impressed, so it's fine.
Well, yeah, clearly.
So you were about to start, Dirk. What you got?
So for mine, little tangent and everything. I was talking to one of the other teachers at school today, and if our day at school could be thrown into, you know, behind one of the gods, it would definitely be Mogus, because there'd probably be a lot of dead kids. But normally, I was thinking Crufix as well, but I think for me personally, Crufix, again, you've got the god of horizons and mysticism, and I kind of feel the same way with Mike in that, you know, there are days I definitely feel like my faith is tested and everything, but I'm always searching, and I always feel a little enlightened, whenever I reflect a bit on, you know, life and what, you know, my faith is in terms of my life and looking at it through a scientific lens and in addition, which adds just another level of complexity. But at the same time, it makes things more interesting to think about, you know, how the two relate to each other and how the two intertwine. But for me personally, I think the god that I would most, recognize with is Kara Metra. And that is because my natural personality is that I like to see things grow. I like to see where people take things that are just absolute trash and garbage and then they make something out of it. I was watching that recently, I guess there was the Google science competition, something where there's, whenever I go on and I do the YouTube channels that I subscribe to, there's been a big push in terms of the Exxon showing off their engineering stuff, that, you know, trying to get kids into science and math and engineering. And then apparently there was a competition where they were showing off science fair stuff where kids were showing their great ideas and things they want to do. And I just think to myself that that's great, that people are recognizing that the world is not in a great state, and they're trying to build something and do something, and that makes me proud. That gives me hope that there is that humanity will make it, you know, somewhere within my lifetime. You know, I may not be teaching those kids, but I'm hoping that they will help somewhere in the line. And so again, I think I'm more in line with Carmetrin that building things, you know, harvesting, growing things. So,
nice. You know, I wasn't sure what Brian and Chewy were going to go for, but I had a strong feeling that Karametra might be the best match for you, Dirk. I'm glad I was right. That was awesome.
I just want to say that once again, all of us are given a question that I think is fairly interesting, and Dirk makes something out of it perhaps far more profound than I really thought possible. So, and that is what Dirk does all the time. So, props to Dirk for that one. That's cool. And I totally see that in your personality, and I just want to point out that is completely true for your personality, and from a gameplay perspective, he's white and green. So,
that wasn't lost on me either.
But. No. I realize that wasn't the basis for your decision, but it certainly doesn't hurt, so.
Well, you know, again, I'm magic pie wise. I tend to run green, blue, but with the personality and the game text and everything for the different gods, I think Carmetra is the one that would fit me personally. Oh, yeah.
You're definitely white. There's no question about it. No, from a personality perspective, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Dirk is very, very white.
Yeah, I am.
Yes, you know what I'm actually saying, though.
Yes.
With you, technically, Chewie's definitely red and white.
You left it so wide open that we couldn't not take
it. I know, but it was so wide open you didn't have to.
Yeah, I kind of did. So, that just leaves me. Now, holy, I'm all choked up about it. So, what I did was I looked at each one and thought, why would I bother? And I was surprised by what I came up with, because I found a reason to bother for most of these. Like, for example, Athreos. I've always been fascinated by the dividing line between living and not. It just something about that has just always fascinated me. And the great lengths that people go to religiously and philosophically and all of that to deal with death. And yeah, it's just, it's always been something I can just sit and listen to people talk about and be like, huh, how about that?
I mean, that right there, we were talking about mysticism in terms of Kruphix, but this is the greatest mystery in the universe is what happens to us when we're not here anymore. And it's a question that we've been struggling with for literally thousands of years. So
yeah, that's since Ugluk in the cave fell over and didn't move anymore. People are like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Sweet. For Ifara, I really couldn't think of much because I don't actually know, other than what's written on the card, I don't know much about these guys, to be honest.
Right.
So.
Well, she's kind of hot. She's got that going for her.
You know, she got the big water jug thing. That's pretty cool. I hate you.
Thank you.
Turn her on, she's Mr. Coffee with an automatic.
Oh my god. Who should be ashamed? Oh, you should be ashamed.
I should not be ashamed at all.
Keep now going. We know why Brian chose her.
So yeah, but I mean, really, other than what's on the card, I don't know much about her. I assumed from our previous discussion that she's sort of an Athena, yeah. And there's some wisdom in there, but you know, I like wisdom and all, but yeah. The God of the Dead doesn't fascinate me as much as
the passage.
Athreos, there we go. I was like, his name, can't scroll, brain dumb. So he's not so much. Heliod, I'm a ginger, so screw the sun. Eros, he's the god of victory as far as warfare and tactics, and while.
And athleticism.
And athleticism, yeah. And while, you know, warfare and tactics are all well and good, nah. like Brian said, who are you trying to impress? Cara Metra, I thought of because I like to eat. I'm all about some food. And that's what she does. So, yeah. Mogus, not so much. the only gore I ever appreciated was Al Gore. So, you know, I'll just leave that there.
Well, you know, if you were still working at the horrible job, then he might be one you...
Oh, yeah, I would probably dig him then.
Be like, yep, he's the one I'd be one, because just be like, oh, please, just drop an axe in the middle of the workplace, and I will use it to great effect.
Karanos, again, other than God of Storms, I don't really know much about him, but one of my favorite hobbies when I was a kid was, this is going to sound really weird, but it was actually watching the thunderstorms. Like, I would turn my chair around and sit it in front of the window and just lean out and watch the lightning, especially if there's a really cool lightning storm.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You're not alone there. I think
that's an everybody thing.
That's not weird.
You're weird. Oh, wait. Hang on.
Sorry. I know you want to be weird, but the test came back and I'm afraid it's normal.
Whoops. And I'm at the bottom now. Okay. Xenagos, God of Revels. I've never really been a party person, being a nerd. You know, I just don't. I don't do parties.
Unless it was a magic party.
Yeah. Well, you know, ain't no party like a magic party, because a magic party don't stop. Thassa, I can't swim, and I don't really like fish, so screw her. Purphoros, I love when things are made for me, like, you know, Digigames and my apartment, my headset here, all of that. But something tells me the technology's not going to be that high for me to appreciate that sort of thing, so...
Well,
I like a good pot.
He, for me, was a close third, just because he is the god of creation and of creativity, so there are certain aspects to him, but...
Okay, we'll throw him on the list because of that, because that's a big part of me.
Yeah.
God of Deception, Phoenix, I'm actually a pretty good liar, so I really appreciate Phoenix. Farika, I love medicine, I love not being sick, even though I haven't had health insurance for far too long, so... So yeah, I can dig her. Nylia, not so much. I was born in the South, but that part didn't affect me, thank goodness. and then, wait, is that everybody?
Crufix.
Crufix, yeah. And then it takes me back to Crufix, which I have to go with for sort of similar reasons to Mike, but not quite so hippy-dippy and weird.
It's true.
That's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, it is. But, all my life, I have always wanted to, know why. Like, that's just something with a little kid, why, yeah, that was me. And to this day, I mean, I went to college, I went into physics, because there's only one question that physics can answer in the long term, and that's why. It's really good at how, but how gets boring after a while, so, like, I look at the origin of things, and unlike my three co-hosts here, I am about as far from religious as you could possibly get. And I still want to know why, but the answers that you find in the major religions for why don't do it for me. And the only place to go past that is philosophy, and that's just a bunch of drunkards sitting around talking. So from there you have to go to physics and cosmology and that sort of thing. I've actually been ODing, while I've been at the house working on stuff that doesn't involve me listening, you know. I've been ODing on some Stephen Hawking, How the Universe Works types of things on Netflix. And it's brilliant stuff. And these freaking produced for the mass consumption on television are telling me things I didn't know, because I'm like 10 years out of current scientific knowledge, and that makes me sad. But, yeah. So given all of that, I've got to go with Crufix, because he's the guy. What is his deal? He's the guy who knows what's really going on.
Yeah, he's the only one who actually knows everything about the origin of Theros and the gods and everything else.
Yeah, so he'd be a guy I would want to sit down and talk to, and you know, offer up a lamb or a sheep or whatever you sacrifice on Theros to get a god to show you some favor.
I think everybody has their preferences. I think for him, you'd have to sacrifice, like, the Riddler, I guess.
That annoys me. So it's,
riddle me this. Ah.
Oh, see, that's why it's Silent Green, because it's the Riddler.
That was awful. What's green and red and bleeding on the floor?
It's you, Edward. So, yeah, this was a damn fine question. I would have to put, now that you've told me what the deal with Purphoros is, I'd have to put him in close second, though. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. So, all right. Cool. So, thank you, Stark Maximum. I really want to know what his actual name is. Something tells me Stark Maximum is not his name. But
yeah.
Max from Starkington.
Max Starkumum. Starkumum. Stark. Tony Stark. There we go. Yeah, everywhere.
If Tony Stark is your real name, you don't need a handle.
Eh. But everywhere from Twitter to Twitch to frickin', I think our forums, isn't he on our, is he on our forums? Maybe not. If there's some other place. Maybe it's his email address. It's Stark Maximum. And I'm like, damn it, isn't it, Stark, what is your name? You're killing me, son. Killing me. I've probably got it in my, Kickstarter stuff, now that I think about it. Mm.
If you know the true identity of Stark Maximum, send us an email.
Yeah. Let us know who that guy is, because we don't know if we should trust him. Anyway. So, let's see. How long have we been going, somebody who has a timer on their recording?
We have, tab, about 45 minutes.
Okay, that sounds like a good time to pause for a moment. The problem with that is, I don't have any music. Oh, God. So I recently redid my desktop, you know, on my computer, because it was getting every manner of cluttered that you could possibly get.
Uh-huh.
And now I don't know where anything is. Ooh, what's this? These are sound effects. Balls. Quick, give me an old...
Just play some stupid sound effect on loop for 30 seconds. Blip, flat.
You should totally run the sound effect of Link opening a treasure chest from Ocarina of Time.
Wait, that, I don't know Ocarina of Time. My brain went to Link to the Past. Or,
the sound that Sonic makes when he gets a ring.
Ring, 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 ring. Oh my God. There is a point of sale system that lots of gas stations, convenience stores use. And the sound that it makes is that freaking sound.
I've heard that too. I've heard that too. It's weird.
I'm like, bring. I'm like, ha. Oh, wait. Bring, ha. Oh, wait. Okay, wait a minute. Hang on. If my computer will stop being a jerk. Oh, this is perfect. Okay. So, a long time ago, I don't remember what year and I don't feel like looking it up, on the NES, there was a game called Mickey Mouse Capade. Where you were Mickey, and if you were lucky, also Minnie, and you were traversing levels and whatnot, and you could lose Minnie at some point, which is awful, because when you had the ability to shoot stars out of your mouth, you would shoot too if Minnie was with you. But I don't remember the point of the game other than, damn it, Minnie, quit falling in the freaking hole! Oh my God! And then Pete would kill me. But... but this music...
That sounds like an old Nintendo game.
It is, yeah. this music you're about to hear is the music that I heard most often in that game, because I think it was the first level. It's called The Woods. It's from Mickey Mouse Capade on the NES. Please don't hurt me. It's really cutesy, but I enjoy it. So listen to that, and we will be right back. Okay, hope you all don't hate me too bad after that. I thought it was pretty funny.
And it was Ryan, very cutesy music.
Ryan was actually jamming to it during the musical break, so...
I still am.
Jamming. So, we had a request a while back for some, how do I put this? Oh, for story circles.
Requests from a while back are our favorite kind.
Yeah, and actually they were re-requested, at least I'm pretty sure they were requests from a while back, but they were re-requested recently on Twitter by somebody who I can't see now because Twitter is really for right now. Trying to find something from the past on Twitter is such a bitch that I'm not going to try. So, but he said, hey, I know it's been a while, which is actually probably better given the circumstances here, but have you thought about doing a story circle with any of the original commanders from the Commander product? And he probably rattled off a few specifically now that I'm thinking about it, but I just sort of took it to mean any of the originals. So, we looked at the commanders, like the actual wedge colored, three colored ones, all, what, 10 of them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we ruled out ones that one or more of us already has a deck built around. So that ruled out the Mimeoplasm, Kalia, Tariel,
Damia,
Zedru.
So it ruled out half right there. Bam.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of each wedge, isn't it? No, that was both of the Mardu wedges. Okay. And we said, So we looked at the rest, and those sort of didn't, some of them didn't jump at it. Like the one that Gav, that guy.
Yeah.
He's like, plus one counters. Oh, God, it seems like every story circle we do is plus one counters. Next.
Or Rowan.
Yeah, Ruhan just, he's a big guy that attacks. Wow.
Yeah, you play him if you want the access to those colors and don't really need a general, so he's not really very build around me. And as we were looking, it came down to, hey, how about Carador or Riku? And so we picked Carador, because he's awesome.
Yes.
And you know what? I bet he's in my search here. Yeah, he is. Okay, so we're going to do Carador Ghost Chieftain. He is the Abzan-colored one. Now he is, anyway. And he costs 5, a black, a green, and a white. Pretty cool. He's a legendary centaur spirit, and he's a 3-4. A 3-4 for 8. He's awesome.
What a bargain.
Yeah. But he costs 1 less to cast for each creature card in your graveyard, so that's awesome. And during each of your turns, and this is what gets me, you may cast 1 creature card from your graveyard. So, sure, he costs 8, but he doesn't really cost 8, and he's well worth it. It doesn't matter what size he is. So, I thought we would do, or we thought, that we would do him.
Sweet.
And do him, just do him hard.
Also sweet, and somewhat uncomfortable.
Just somewhat? Okay, hang on. And we'll do him, and just do him hard. From behind.
See, now that doesn't even really, you don't even have a pretense for saying it that way.
I really don't, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except wasn't Princess Leia at the back door in one of our episodes?
She was.
Oh my,
God.
What have you done?
Oh God, I'm dying.
So, are we ready to get started?
Oh yeah, real quick, a story circle for those of you who maybe don't know or don't remember or are just joining us. Hi, welcome to the Mana Pool. A story circle is where originally we would take a random card, but now we tend to do it with a legendary creature and build a commander skeleton around it.
Because commander is so much of what we play, so.
Pretty much, yeah. And it for this sort of thing, it's a lot easier that way, because, oh yeah, this card works, and you only need one, and there's less thought involved. So, we start with the legendary creature, the commander, and then we go around in a circle, and each person, in turn, names a card to go in the deck.
Right.
And that's pretty much it.
And you can't really ignore each other's choices. You can't say, oh, well, that's not what the direction I want the deck to go in, so it kind of feeds off of each other.
Yeah, and the good thing about doing it, commander, is that Brian can't add a fourth and fifth color, because before we started doing commanders, he would always go into another color.
We really haven't done anything in blue yet. And we're like, yeah, because
I wonder why.
Because it's a burn ramp deck. So, but it actually is nice because the commander dictates the colors, but other than that, we can take it any way we want. So, for example, I've got my first card ready if we're ready to go.
Yeah, why not?
All right. So, we've got Carador. He likes the graveyard. He's a spirit. So maybe there's something to do with this here. So I choose Devouring Greed for 2/2 black. It's a sorcery, arcane. It's from Champions of Kamigawa, and it's a common. As an additional cost to play Devouring Greed, you may sacrifice any number of spirits. Target player loses 2 life, plus 2 life for each spirit sacrificed this way. You gain that much life. So you're always going to deal at least 2. But what's really fun is when you have 6 or 7 spirits out, and you're doing not 2.
But
you're doing like 16 or 18.
Significantly more than 2.
Significantly more. And you know, spirits, they tend to come, aside from in Kamigawa block, they tend to come fairly abundantly in like tokens, so it's not hard to make a bunch of them. Karador is a spirit. You'll always have at least the 1 spirit around, and you know, then any of the spirits that you can sacrifice, you can then cast from your graveyard again once a turn. So, synergy. All right, that's my first entry. It's Devouring Greed.
Oh, is it Devouring or Devouring? Yes.
Devouring. Ooh, not Devouring Greed.
Okay,
Devouring.
That's a different card, I think.
Sorry, I will pronounce more specifically next time.
Oh, no, I just wrote it down. I didn't. That was me.
Okay. Okay, I'm always willing to assume that it's your fault, but I just want to make sure.
It usually is. So what's someone else got? Because I got nothing.
All right. I have one. There was another more recent card that I could have chosen for this slot that just does it for you, but I like this one because it costs less. Nature's Resurgence is a sorcery that costs 2 green and 2. Each player draws a card for each creature card in his or her graveyard.
Okay. I like it.
Wow. That's That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the one just for you from Innistrad block costs 6, so.
Buh. What was that called? I gotta remember to write these down.
Nature's Resurgence was the one I picked.
What's that from again?
It appears to be from Weatherlight.
Oh, okay, I see it now.
6th edition and 7th edition.
Ooh, there's your problem. Things in 7th edition, 6th edition were generally irrepressibly drab and awful.
Okay. Well, you want me to go next?
Sure.
Because of the second ability, during each of your turns, you may cast 1 creature card from your graveyard. I thought, okay, you want something that potentially can be in the graveyard, that's a good utility creature, something like that. So, what I thought of was Acidic Slime.
Okay.
It's got Death Touch. It's, you know, not so bad creature, but the key thing is when it enters the battlefield, destroy target artifact, enchantment, or land. So it has the ability to, again, set someone back. It has the ability to, if someone throws something out that you really want to be gotten rid of, as long as it can be targeted and it's not indestructible, then this would be something as a utility in addition to being a creature. And with Karados's ability, if he dies, oh well, I'll just recast it in my next turn. So that was the one I thought of.
That's pretty ballin'.
I like that.
I cannot find, for the life of me,
what?
It's a legendary spirit from Kamigawa, which I know just narrows it down terribly.
Iname?
Well, what does it do?
No, it's white.
Okay.
I think? I can't think of what it was. What's one name? I don't remember now. I'm beginning to think I'm getting it and another card confused. That's what I've been sitting here searching for while you guys are talking, and I'm not. I think I might be confusing it and another card, so I might be an idiot. So, let's go with something else. So, it says, what's Karador say again? The second part?
You can cast 1 creature from your graveyard each turn.
What does it say specifically?
I don't know, I'm not looking at it.
I'm not either.
It says, during each of your turns,
okay,
you may cast 1 creature card from your graveyard.
Oh, I found it. Okay, well, I'll do this one later then. So, the one I was originally looking for, when Brian pointed out it was a spirit, I went, ah! So my brain went straight to Ayobi, who split the heavens.
Haha, I had an eye on him as well. That's cool.
For 6 and a white, which is terrible, he's a 3/6... a legendary spirit. He's a rare from Saviors of Kamigawa. But he has flying, so that sort of helps. And when you play a spirit or arcane spell, if you're new to the game, don't worry about arcane spell. But when you play a spirit or arcane spell, put a 3/3 white flying spirit creature token on the battlefield. And 3/3 flyers attached to whatever else you're casting is pretty awesome.
Yeah, for no extra mana.
Yeah. So I like him.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. That's good. I like that a lot.
Even if you don't use him for anything other than some weird recasting your general thing, which some decks do. I don't know which ones. Probably not these, but whatever. Shut up. Plus, if you get to cast one creature every turn and you happen to have like a some cheap spirit with a sack ability, you know, destroy an enchantment or something, you know, whatever, then you're really getting two creatures every turn with a Yobi and Caridor out, and that is awesome.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's very cool.
So, yay. Next.
So it's my turn again, and I danced around this one for a while because it's one of those ones where as soon as I say this, they're going to groan, but it just fits really well.
Oh, are you going to say glory?
I'm going to say glory.
I was half kidding. Apparently I was not.
No, you were not, because it has the potential to just end the game. For 3 and 2 white, it is a incarnation creature. It's a 3/3 flyer. It's a rare from Judgment. And so it's a 3/3 flyer for 5, which is like, eh, okay. And when it's on the battlefield, it has no abilities. But when it's in the graveyard, it has pay 2 and a white. And you don't have to tap it because it's in the graveyard. So pay 2 and a white. Choose a color. Creatures you control, all of them, gain protection from the chosen color until end of turn. Activate this ability only if glory is in your graveyard. Yeah. Hey, Chewie, you've only got red guys. So I'm just going to pro red and swing. And you're like, oh, well, I'm going to blow one of them up. And I'm like, all right, pro black. And you're just like, damn it. And
damn it.
It's a creature you want in your graveyard. At some point, you know, our stuff is going to be dying. We might have some sort of mill effect or selective mill, like, well, certain black cards that I won't name because maybe somebody else wants to do them. But, so he's going to end up in the graveyard, and he's one where while he's in there, fine. And if you want to regrow him, so to speak, with Caridor, he's a 3/3 flyer. So sweet that they don't want to kill. So, glory.
As much as I hate it, that seems good.
I feel like I don't want to just include it in every white deck, but here it seems actually on point.
Word.
All right. Because it kind of sounds like this deck might end up with a spirit theme, I'm going to abandon my previous pick because it started a different tribal theme, and I will go with instead Enduring Renewal.
Oh, God.
Enduring Renewal is an enchantment for 2 white and 2. Play with your hand revealed. If you would draw a card, reveal the top card of your library instead. If it's a creature card, put it into your graveyard. Otherwise, draw a card. And then, whenever a creature is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, return it to your hand.
That's...
So it dumps creatures into your graveyard that you can cast, and the creatures that die go back to your hand so you can cast them.
You know?
It was time-shifted. So that's sweet. That's pretty cool. I like that.
So for mine, again, Caridor's second ability is really powerful. And so as I was digging through, I came across one that I think is just be fun to do. Divinity of Pride.
Yes.
For 5 hybrid white and black mana. It's a spirit avatar that's a 4/4. It's rare. It is flying in lifelink, and it says Divinity of Pride gets +4/+4 as long as you have 25 or more life. Because it's got lifelink and flying, as Brian was talking about, you know, playing glory for the flying and everything, because, you know, you've got that type of evasion. You also throw in their lifelink so that, oh, I'm, you know, there, someone's coming in and they're just beaten. This is a flyer with lifelink that if you can somehow stop the beatings on you, then you can gain life back up to where you want to be. And if you get enough life, now you've got this 8/8 flying, you know, smash your face avatar that's now out on the battlefield.
Yeah. That's,
What's the name again?
Divinity of Pride.
That's right.
And it plays into the spirit theme and everything that Brian had addressed in the beginning.
Wait a minute. Oh, it is 5. Okay. I was like, I thought those cost 6. No, that would be stupid. Okay. Or fair. So my turn again, huh?
Yes.
Huh. Okay, my original thought got dumb. So let's go. Hang on, let me scroll back up and find him. Where'd you go? Here he is. So we're in Abzan colors, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, a third of, or two-thirds, part of Abzan is Golgari.
Yes, it is.
And we want creatures in the graveyard, and any creature that goes to the graveyard we can bring back pretty easily, right?
Yep.
So let's play Jarad Golgari Lich Lord.
Ha-ha!
Ha! Ha! Sounds awesome.
Because for black, black, green, green, he's a 2/2 zombie elf. He's a mythic from... That's Return to Ravnica. Yeah, Or the second first one. God, that's confusing. He gets +1/+1 for each creature card in your graveyard, so much like Caridor, he wants creatures in your graveyard. And for one a black, a green, and sacrifice another creature, each opponent loses life equal to the sacrificed creature's power. So for 3 mana, sack a big dude, recast big dude. It doesn't even have to be big dude, it could be small dude. And then recast small dude with enough mana, which is entirely possible in Commander, you can do that 2 or 3 times.
Well, you can only bring it back once a turn.
Oh, that's true.
Because then it's a new object, so.
Oh, he also has sacrifice a swamp and a forest and return Jarad from your graveyard to your hand, but we don't really care about that because we have Caridor.
Well, it's nice to have another way of getting it back. So.
Very true.
You're not always going to have Caridor in play.
So yeah, that is my pick for what in the blue hell are we doing here.
Okay. So far, we've got some spirits, we've got stuff going to the graveyard and staying there, we've got stuff going to the graveyard and coming back. So I'm going to choose for my next one, Meadow Boon. For 2/2 white, it's an elemental creature, an uncommon from Morningtide. And it is a 3/3 elemental. It has Evoke of 3 and a white, which the Evoke mechanic says you may cast the spell for its Evoke cost. If you do, it's sacrificed when it enters the battlefield. So basically, you're almost casting it like a sorcery or instant. It does enter the battlefield for reasons like Pandemonium. It counts as a creature spell, but then it's immediately sacrificed. You can do Blink shenanigans, because the ability does go on the stack to, like, phase it out and get it back and it won't die. But in any case, when Meadow Boon leaves the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature target player controls.
Ooh, me.
Yes, I'll choose Chewy, if Chewy is piloting my Caridor deck, in which case, why am I choosing for you?
Reasons?
So this, you know, if we've got a couple little guys around, it makes everybody bigger. Of course, you know, Caridor says we can cast creature spells from our graveyard, and Evoke is an alternate casting cost, correct? So, Mike, can I Evoke him once a turn?
I think Evoke works from any zone you could cast it from. Reread me the reminder text.
You may cast this spell for its Evoke cost. If you do, it's sacrificed when it enters the battlefield. That's the Oracle text.
So oh, okay. Well, since that doesn't specify a hand, that means it doesn't matter. Because if that was important, they would have put it in the reminder text.
So once a turn, if Caridor's out, if you have nothing else to do, you can just Meadow Boon. That'll actually be a verb. This turn, I'm going to Meadow Boon. And, you know, if we've got anything else that cares about things dying, he triggers that. Things coming in, he cares about that. He's not a spirit, but you know what? All right, we're good. So Meadow Boon, I think I like this one.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Right.
I'm really torn between what to say next. I think I'll just save the other one for my next pick. But because I think this could go in a really interesting direction by making it a spirit, an arcane-themed deck, I'm going to pick Life Spinner.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Long Forgotten Go High. Okay. Life Spinner?
Maybe later. Yeah. Life Spinner. For 3 and a green, Life Spinner is a 3/3 spirit and has an ability, tap, sacrifice 3 spirits, search your library for a legendary spirit card and put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle up.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Like, the one that split the heavens that Chewie was talking about that cost a lot, you know. Sweet.
Yeah.
Ooh, I know what my next pick is, but I have to wait a couple more.
Well, since Mike talked about legendary creature and everything, the one that I was came across and I thought, ooh, that will work really well with Gyarados is Infernal Kieran.
Yeah, I was thinking about
which
that.
One's the infernal one?
The black one?
It's wow. The black Kieran. So it's flying. It's a 3/3 Kieran spirit that's a legendary creature. When you cast a spirit or arcane spell, target player reveals his or her hand and discards all cards with that spell's converted mana cost. Because Kieran says, during your turn, you may cast one creature. If you can cast any creature during that, you could essentially, if this person's got this big card or has got these support cards that you're pretty sure they've got in their hand, then you can make them dump it.
Or if you just want perfect information about their hand, and if you have to grab something, great. Wow.
Oh, you've got that? Okay, well, I know what I'm picking up next time.
I was considering the white one, but the white one is so dangerous because you can end up nuking yourself.
Yeah.
But the black one, that's all. And the green one is so expensive. But the black one, how much does he cost?
Costs 2 and 2 black. He's only cost 4.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. And he's legendary, so he's another thing we can life spinner out. Sweet. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, even if you, I mean, he's another flying creature.
Yeah.
And because that he can be, he's cheap, that you can Gyarados him out. If really you just are running out of options, you can do that.
Sure.
Holy.
All right. Sweet. What do you got,
crap.
Chewy?
This guy's a spirit too. I didn't know that. So okay. I was thinking, we're going to be playing a creature every freaking turn, essentially, once we get Gyarados out, right?
Yeah.
So why not play Primordial Sage? And then we can be drawing a card while we're playing cards from our graveyard. And I looked at his type line, and he's a spirit too.
He's a spirit?
Wow.
I'm surprised he's not an elemental or something. That's amazing.
So Primordial Sage costs 4 green-green, is a 4/5 spirit. He was a rare from original Ravnica City of Guilds. And he says whenever you cast a creature spell, you may draw a card. Easy peasy, Japanesey, and he's a spirit. So he fits in with the rest of this nonsense we're doing. That is crazy.
This is awesome. Okay.
Yeah, this deck is a trip.
I like this. I'm actually going to propose my first non-creature spell here because I realized we're in white, black, and green. We're making spirits. And I just put in +1/+1 counters, which I realize we do with a lot of them. Now, I don't feel like that has to be a theme, but when we're making a bunch of guys, you know, it always helps to make them bigger. That's so true. Then I am literally looking at this pack that Sam opened for me a little while ago. Like, oh, look, Abzan Ascendancy.
I was going to say, is there an Ascendancy in this?
There might be an
Abzan. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
This is not actually the direction. I was not staring at this the whole time. I was just kind of like, what is that? Oh, wow. Because for a white, a black, and a green, an Abzan, it's a rare from the new set, Khans of Tarkir. It's an enchantment. And when Abzan Ascendancy enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. And whenever a non-token creature you control dies, put a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying onto the battlefield. It pumps all your guys and gives you spirits. When they die, which helps feed Gyarados. So, ba-boom.
Gyarados can now come out cheaper, and when Gyarados is out, now you've got something you can play later.
Dirk, absolutely.
Dirk, it's Gyarador. You sound like Brian.
Oh, sorry. I keep saying Gyarados, don't I?
Mariki de Bruit.
Gyarador.
Gyarados sounds like a love child of Gyarador and Karanos. Just think about that.
I don't want to.
Gods and spirits, what do they do in the afterlife?
Apparently they scrump.
So again, that's Abzan Ascendancy.
And that's
actually
that's
I realize I take it back. That was not my first non-creature spell because my very first spell was the Devouring Greed.
Oh
so,
yeah, that's true.
Way back when, like 10 minutes ago.
I have to be honest with you. This story circle, I keep going all kinds of different directions because I get so excited about the new angle that we found on it. And I might throw all my previous plans out the window and try to build this deck next.
All right, which direction are you excited about now?
the Spirit Arcane angle that we found on it.
Okay.
Like, and here's another good arcane spell, Death Denied.
Oh.
It's an instant for X and two black, return X target creature cards from your graveyard to your hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love Death Denied. Like, a lot. Did you realize Carbon Caryatid is a spirit? That's weird. Anyway.
Yeah, Ravnica had a lot of random ass spirits because it was next to Kamigawa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it had to have something to tie the two together. That was before they really understood how to properly do interblock design. It was a good try, but.
I mean, it was. It extended the life of the spirits, because there were a lot of spirits in Ravnica. It's just some of the things they picked to be spirits is like, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well. That's you, Dirk.
For mine, as I was, again, looking through the spirits and everything, I came across one I thought, this is such a butthole sort of card to play. But at the same time, if you're stalling to get the win condition, I guess you could throw it in. That's Kami of False Hope.
Which one's he?
Because I have been there for those, oh my gosh, we are going to deck ourselves before anyone ever wins this game. Kami of False Hope says, sacrifice Kami of False Hope, prevent all combat damage that would be dealt this turn.
It's a little
so in a duel. So in a duel, essentially you sit there and say, oh, you're going to attack me? All right, well, I'll sacrifice it. And then when it's your turn again, you go, call me a false hope. And then you just essentially just play and sack whenever combat damage is going to be dealt. And you go, oh, please, let the next card be something I can use to get me out of this worthless loop.
Anyone else notice that Dirt keeps going, man, this card is a dick move. And then he puts it in the deck anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I love you, Dirk.
I know. And it's a cheap 1/1 spirit, too, so.
Oh, it's me again.
Yep.
Okay, I had another spirity thing to throw in, but that's done. Let's. If we do one more round, I'll probably say it then because I'm running out of ideas.
Why don't we finish this and do one more round?
Yeah. Mike, is that all right?
Yeah.
Are your six more ideas you're just gonna wait and put them in the deck yourself?
yeah. After the next thing that I'm gonna say, you know, it would just be me looking through lists and boxes and picking stuff out.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So I will do something that, since it sounds like we want lots of creature cards in our graveyards, mm-hmm. which I'm sure that'll be some of the stuff that we just don't say will be ways to get creatures in our graveyards.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to add something else that wants lots of creatures in the graveyard. And my first thought was, oh, well, say Exoskeletal Armor. But no, they did that again and made it reusable. So I'll say Bone Horde.
Okay.
Bone Horde is a rare artifact from, let's see, that is the second one. So Mirrodin Besieged?
Yes.
I think that's that symbol.
Yes. Is that where all the living weapon stuff was,
Mirrodin Besieged? That almost all. We've got the, we got like, Battersoul. Yeah,
So, Bone Horde costs 4. It's rare. It has Living Weapon, and what that means is that when this equipment enters the battlefield, put a 0/0 black germ creature token onto the battlefield, then attach this to it. Now, you might go, but it'll die, but the way that's worded, state-based effects aren't checked in the middle of that, so it'll be like, a germ shows up wearing a Bone Horde, and since it pumps toughness, he's fine. And,
aren't I pretty?
Look at me. Check me out, y'all. Rawr. And what Bone Horde says is equipped creature gets +X/+X, where X is the number of creature cards in all graveyards. Because, you know, why not? If you're going to have 3/3 flyers jumping around, why not just make them 10/10 flyers? You know. Meh.
Yeah.
Here, hold this. Now kill that guy. And Dirk's like, what'd I do? And Mike goes, shut up. So,
and then Dirk sacrifices his commie false hope.
Exactly. Okay, so.
All right. One more round. Well, this last entry for me, I almost don't want to say it because it's in kind of the same vein as Glory, where as soon as I say it, you're going to go, oh, of course.
Okay, wait a minute. Cult Glory.
Well.
Nope.
It fits the theme of the deck so well. We want creatures in our graveyard. Technically, this isn't a spirit, but it's a big guy, and it has a very powerful, reusable effect, and it likes it when you have lots of stuff in your graveyard.
Is it Golgari Grave Troll?
No.
Is it the new Delve Demon? No.
Nope. It is Avatar of Woe.
Whoa.
Because, again, you're like, oh, okay, but still, it's awesome. For 6 colorless and 2 black, it is a 6/5 Avatar creature.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it has Fear, which is kind of like, it's basically Intimidate, except it's still, this creature can't be blocked except by artifact creatures and or black creatures. The only time this is really going to be different from Intimidate is if you change the color of Avatar of Woe, it still means that black creatures can't block it. So anyway, Fear, 6/5. Tap. Destroy targeted creature. It can't be regenerated. Yes. And finally, if there are 10 or more creature cards total in all graveyards, Avatar of Woe costs 6 colorless less to cast. That includes from your graveyard. Oh yeah, and you know, tap, destroy target creature, it can't be regenerated.
Not that that part's important or anything. You know.
No. So, big fatty that kills things that gets cheaper when graveyards are full. Yeah, sure. It goes in the deck, because duh. Woohoo.
I like it.
Alright, Avatar of Woe. Next.
Alright, this goes with stuff we talked about earlier about having a bunch of spirit tokens and sacrificing things, and also some of the +1/+1 counter cards that are gonna show up in the deck and that we've already talked about. Seki Season's Guide.
costs
5 green, so a total of 8 for a 0/0 legendary spirit. Yes. Oh. He enters the battlefield with 8 +1/+1 counters. If damage would be dealt to him, you prevent the damage and instead remove that many +1/+1 counters and you get that many 1/1 colorless spirit tokens. And you can sacrifice 8 spirits to return Seki from the graveyard to the battlefield.
Yeah. This turned into very much a Mike deck not long after we started and just kept going.
I built a lot of, like when we were picking Caridor, I'm like, you know, I've just built a lot of decks like this lately. So I'm not surprised that it kind of just ended up turning out that way.
And now there's one more. But, I mean, we've all contributed, so it's not like Mike ran away with us or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mike didn't even start the spirit thing.
No.
That was me.
Actually,
oh, no, you did, because Devouring Greed. I keep forgetting.
The very first pick. I'm like, hey, look, it's a spirit.
Alright, Dirk?
Alright, well, once again, I was going through and I found one that it's a good utility creature, especially if, again, you are sort of on the losing end and you're like, I need to do something to level the playing field. And so the other one does work, but I think this one levels the playing field better, and that's Myosin of Cleansing Fire.
Whoa, that's not.
Well, again, the one thing about Caridor,
that's leveling the entire battlefield.
Well, yeah, but again, Caridor, the wonderful thing about him is that, oh, well, I had to destroy my creatures. Well, that's okay. I can bring them back.
Yeah, Caridor's your like, opponent, graveyard's full.
Long before we ever had Theros and Greek gods and all that, we had these gods, the Myosins.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you read the Myosin there, Dirk?
So legendary creature, that's a spirit, it's a 4/6. It costs 5 and 3 white, and it's rare from Kamigawa block.
Champion of Kamigawa.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original.
Yep.
Myosin of Cleansing Fire enters the battlefield with a divinity counter on it if you cast it from your hand. Myosin of Cleansing Fire has indestructible as long as it has a divinity counter on it. Remove a divinity counter from Myosin of Cleansing Fire, destroy all other creatures. Actually, I didn't catch that part about it having to be cast from your hand.
Yeah, well, it is specifically from your hand.
But yeah. You know,
but I still like it. I mean,
that's the only way that it's remotely fair.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, if it just entered the battlefield with a counter and you could just remove it to, I don't even want to finish talking anymore because that would be dumb.
Zombify, yeah. 4 mana. Wrath of Board. I've got a 4 power dude. I win.
Well, yeah. And again, that can be switched.
Magic is fun.
I found one. The one that I had been thinking about before was the Ghost Council, but the new one, not the old one.
Oh, see, I was looking at the old one.
Yeah. Well, I remember that there was the combat trick with the old one, and that no longer applies now.
Well, true.
So that was why the new one was the better of the two, from what I recall. So that was that. But again, that was, and I, if that was one of the ones you were looking at, Chewie, I apologize for stealing your card, but after reading the part about Myojin having to be cast from your hand, I'm like, that's actually not as good as I thought it was.
It's
actually
awful.
Fair. Yeah, sorry about that, Dirk.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So, am I the final pick of this deck? Oh man.
You are.
Yeah.
So my pick, it's one that I came across way earlier and I was like, oh, that's cool. But then I kept finding cooler stuff, but now I'm out of ideas. So, we're gonna have lots of creatures, in theory. You know, our spirits, our flying dudes, all of that. Mm-hmm. We've got spirits, and we can cast things from the graveyard. So, what if we had a combat trick sitting in our graveyard that our opponent maybe forgot about?
Like Prismatic Strands?
No.
Oh.
What if this combat trick was also a dude? Not only what if he was also a dude, what if he was also a spirit? And I'm thinking of Celestial Crusader.
Wow.
Celestial Crusader.
Celestial Crusader costs 2, and Mike's mind is blown. He costs 2 white for an uncommon spirit from Time Spiral. He was also reprinted in Duel Decks, Elspeth versus Tezzeret. He has Flash, thus combat trick. He has Split Second, so there's no responding to him. He has Flying. He's a 2/2, and other white creatures get +1/+1. Now, bear in mind, it's not you control. It's a crusade. That's the name. So, you can pump your opponent's white creatures too, but if you're swinging with a bunch of flying 3/3s, you're probably okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I love this guy.
That's sweet.
He was, back in the day the reason that I thought of Oyobi first is because I had a spirit Oyobi deck. It was mono white spirits. It was bad. I could probably rebuild it now to be freaking sweet, with all the new spirity things that have been printed. But, it wasn't Commander. It was a 60 card deck. And this guy just made it so much better because I could just burp and flash him out. And now all my dudes are bigger and things die and it's great. And he's split second. And in response, no! And you roll up a newspaper and you hit him on the nose. No. So, yeah.
Well, one quick little thing in that is that because we were big on spirits, there were 2 blocks that were really big on spirits that could easily be added to this, and that was, a lot of them are coming from Kamigawa block, but there was also Innistrad.
Yep.
Innistrad had tons of spirits, and they also were ones that when this creature dies, throw spirits onto the battlefield. Which again plays into, okay, well, I'll just recast the guy. Oh, he died again? More spirits.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There were those humans who spawned spirits when they died.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, Doom Traveler et al.
And there was all kinds of...
There was an angel, the Requiem Angel, that basically gave that ability to all of your non-spirit creatures. Wouldn't be great in this deck because she doesn't give you any... What? Wait.
Wasn't there one that let you return spirit cards from your graveyard to your hand? One of the angel.
Angel of Flight Alabaster or something
like
that. Yeah. Yeah. I was referring to the one that gives that turns all of your non-spirit creatures into doomed travelers.
Okay.
Since Dirk was talking about those. But yeah, there's also the Angel of Flight Alabaster. If I was going to add something else to this deck, it would probably be a Phantom Neshoba because it's a spirit that has counters on it. Mike actually was... I said my card. I'm like, all right, I'm done. And Mike mentions a card where the Seki, and he's talking about prevent damage to be dealt to it, and my mind goes... Instead, remove that many +1/+1 counters. I'm like, what if I only had to remove one?
I don't always play spirits, but when I do, I prefer the Seki.
So...
Yeah, there's
yeah,
I've in terms of spirit in the world.
So yeah,
There are lots of great ones. I was just, again, looking through, and I completely forgot about the muses, too. The windborn muse.
Muses were spirits.
Muses are spirits. They
were all of those, like the Divinity of Pride, that whole series, or not series, what's the word called? A freaking, like, that whole cycle. Series. Shut up, Chewie. That whole cycle were spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a deck that you could have a blast with. And that's just with spirits. Like, if you move outside of that, it gets even more ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, the idea that I abandoned earlier was starting to get into slivers in those colors.
Buh.
Well,
that could get really crazy.
Well, and, you know, Mike and I were talking at the draft that we just did on Saturday, and you said something about, it's like I'm playing slivers when we were talking about the Abzan tribe.
Oh, but yeah, Abzan guys, like, they're like slivers that can get even bigger.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, hey, look, what colors we're in. So you could play with some of those plus one counter lords and go nuts. So, sorry I had to beat you, Mike.
With a stick.
Yeah, it's okay. I was locked out of white in that last game. I'm not surprised it ended that way.
Yeah,
Mike also told me later, while we were talking, like, the next day or maybe two later, he's like, holy crap, I could have played this in my deck. And I was like, what?
Yeah, Brian, I picked up a Sorin in that draft that I could have put in my deck.
You picked up a Sorin?
Yeah.
And you didn't put it in your deck?
No, I have no idea what was going on.
And I asked you later, I'm like, you know, did you have a good time? Did you get anything? And you're like, yeah, I didn't get a Sultai charm, but, you know, it was okay.
I had totally forgotten about it until I was, and then I totally forgotten about it until I was talking to Chewie. And
you know,
then,
you know why you forgot about it?
Why?
Because you didn't put it in your deck.
Yeah. But you know what's even worse? As I was going to sleep that night, I realized that for some reason I passed an utter end to pick. I have no idea what.
That was while you were talking to me too.
No. That was, I realized that the night before.
Oh, the night before. Okay.
Yeah, that I had passed an utter end in favor of, I have no idea what.
And my thought was, well, maybe it was too early for you to know.
And I'm like, no, because my pick one, pack one was Ivory Tusk Fortress, and I was committed to the whole draft. But I was just completely stupid for some portion of it.
Yeah, because not only did you turn down Unconditional Removable, but that's a money card, too.
Yeah, I have no, I don't know what was wrong with me.
You took the right Planeswalker, but then you, I had no idea you had that.
Neither did I, apparently.
So, don't forget, anyone who is not going to Grand Prix Orlando, which is this weekend.
Yes.
That Mike and Brian and, Bill, you know, our favorite guest host and Monday Night Magic host, and most likely me. I don't know if I'll be playing or not yet, but I'll definitely be there.
You should definitely play, but go ahead.
Going to be at Lucky's Card Shop in Greensboro, North Carolina this Saturday for a Cons sealed PTQ. And that's at 10? Is that what Randy said?
I think it's at 11.
Okay.
But I thought he said we should start being there around 10. I'll double check that.
I can't remember. But yeah, it's, should be pretty good. Concealed. I've got to think that, as weird as this sounds, building a sealed deck will actually be better without the, seated booster.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
The problem that we all had was that we had too much good stuff in our colors, and the seated booster was a big part of that, so.
Mm-hmm. I read somebody's article, somebody on Star City, or someone, you know, with that kind of experience, talking about, this sealed format, and they said, if you are turning in your deck list for sealed with any substantial amount of time left, you did it wrong.
You probably built it wrong.
Because this is an incredibly deep format, and there's like 15 different ways to do everything, so.
Minimum. So yeah, just, anybody that wants to play sealed, you should totally come see us. We'll be there. It'll be awesome. I haven't figured out yet if I'm going to have the recorder. Since it's a PTQ, I doubt it. Especially if I'm playing.
It's just a local PTQ.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
we make recordings at pre-releases.
Yeah, but that's pre-release. You know, this is something that if I'm playing, then I'm trying to do well in, and I probably don't want to distract myself with a recorder.
The Facebook event for the PTQ says Lucky's Card Shop Saturday at 11 o'clock a.m.
Okay, so be there before that, everybody, myself included. And yeah. Bill is all excited about it. Like, he's like, so at Tilt Expo, he finished high enough to get some store credit from Foambrain, the people running the Magic event. And he talked them, he was like, can I get some new stuff? And they were like, no, because we won't have it. And I was like, Bill, hey, Bill. He goes, yeah. I was like, they'll get more. And he goes, yeah, wait a minute, you'll get more. Can I just wait till the second shipment and get some cons? And the dude was like, sure. And then another guy there was like, hey, if you do the two box thing, then you get this much off. And with your store credit, you're only paying this much for two boxes. And Bill goes, yeah, I'll do that. And the store owner guy was like, but Bill told me over the last couple of days, he's kept me in the loop about how that's going. He's like, yay, the Foambrain guy, replied to my email finally, and I got my store credit. Yay, they took my order for the stuff. Yay, they shipped my boxes. Yay, I should have it tomorrow. I'm going to make some sealed pools. So Bill is all excited about this, and that makes me excited about this.
I have been looking forward to this since before even had any clue what cons was about, because I'm like, it's a sealed PTQ, I'm going. So
yeah.
And now it turns out the format is awesome, which makes it even better.
Yeah. All right then. So, we have anything else? Or should we go to final thoughts? The silence says we got nothing else. So, final thoughts, Mike.
Final thoughts. I thought that maybe my next commander deck was either going to be Sidri, Galvanic Genius, or Lord of Tressorhorn, but I really would like to try to strike this Carador deck we were just talking about while the iron's still hot.
Oh, yeah.
Baby.
I think that would be really fun.
It looks really fun.
Yeah. Also, I've become accustomed to building black-green X Mill Yourself decks over the past year or so.
He really has. It's weird. I don't think you have a problem, do you, Mike?
I don't know.
Okay.
There's been a lot of good cards for that lately.
Word. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Oh, well, that's boring. I mean, that's great. Dirk.
So something I realized, and it's only now as I'm talking to you guys, I'm like, why didn't I just have them do that? So I didn't go to the pre-release or anything like that, but I really wanted to, you know, get the clan and everything that would go with mine. And I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to go and everything. And then I just realized, why didn't I just give one of you money and then just whenever the thing got done, just be like, oh yeah, I'm going to do the next one. And then you could just walk out and not play it. And then I would have gotten it. I'd given you guys, $30, whatever the interest fee is. And then I would have gotten it later.
Well, like, I mean,
why didn't I do that?
Well, if you just want to buy it, then that it's just easier to buy it later versus the price that you pay at the pre-release. So
do you think Lucky has them?
They might. All of the clan packs, you know, like the other pre-release packs for the last several sets, are marked for individual resale. So.
Oh, I get it. You actually want the clan packs. Okay.
Right. Because that's supposed to have the con.
It could. For each clan, there's 8 different possible promo cards.
Yeah. So you're not guaranteed to get anything. The only cards in that are in the colors of your clan, and the only mythic rare you can get out of that is your con. But it's not guaranteed to have your con. So that's why I'm saying, you know, if you just want that con, none of the cons I think are really all that expensive. So you're probably better off just
trading for them.
Trading for some, and you know, if you want to buy some packs and just crack some packs, and that's cool.
Well. Chelsea doesn't know this, but I her birthday was last weekend. So
she doesn't know that.
Well, you know,
I'm sorry, I'm being bad. Keep going.
So I actually bought some cards.
You actually what?
I actually bought some cards. She's like,
yay.
Okay.
Hi, honey.
You think you can keep anything from me?
Darn it.
Yeah, right.
Jamming.
Yeah, I just got jamming.
We be jamming.
So, but yeah, that was the thing. I was like, why didn't I just have them do that and everything? And then I would have gotten potentially some cards earlier, but.
It happens.
Yeah, I'll think and be smarter next time, maybe.
Maybe.
Be smarter next time, maybe. I love you, honey.
So, Brian, you know any good divorce lawyers?
I know a couple. So
good.
Should we which one should we recommend to each one? Should we recommend the good one to Dirk or the good one to Chelsea?
Let's see who pays better.
I would say neither.
They're that way, yeah. Oh, Lord.
So as far as my final thought, you know, this set is awesome. I love playing with it. I'm looking forward to the PTQ. So everything's awesome. I thought I had another final thought. Oh, come on, what is it? Guardians of the Galaxy is awesome. I really don't care about the Avengers anymore. Oh, that was it. I was talking to somebody, and I think it was somebody actually at work, and they were more into comics than I was, and they were trying to tell me something about one of the characters. And so what I do sometimes when I don't know about anything is don't know anything about something is I'll go into Wikipedia, and I realize that that information can be changed, but it's usually at least enough to give me some background information on a subject that I know nothing about. And I started looking at some of the comic book characters because – as a kid, I grew up a dork, but I really didn't get comic books. I didn't really buy them or anything like that. I think I only ever bought one comic book, which happened to be when I understand it's fairly iconic. It was when Thanos had the Infinity Gauntlet and he kills half the people in the world and everybody else is rushing at him and he's like, I can kill all of you right now, and somebody convinces him to like fight them on quote unquote fair terms. So he just murders them that way. And I remember seeing
spoilers.
I remember seeing him, like, you know, he turns Wolverine's adamantium bones into rubber bands. And I'm like, that's awesome. And it was the only comic book I ever owned. I didn't know anything about the characters except, you know, I watched the X-Men cartoon. So I knew how the baseline for some of these people. And it was my first example of a character just kind of completely owning over everybody else. So, anyway, with just a little bit of background information, I just was looking up stuff on Wikipedia, and I was like, oh, I always wanted to know who Superman Prime was, and these other names that I'd heard about, but I hadn't really read any comic books about. And if there's one thing I can conclude, it's that after, what, 70 years of a lot of these characters, older than that for, like, Superman, these universes have gotten so convoluted, it is crazy. I was literally reading a synopsis for Countdown to Final Crisis, and it's like, on Earth 3, this is happening on Earth 5, and Earth 616, and Earth this, and Earth that, and I'm like, how can you even keep track of where these people are from if you have all these alternate versions of all of these people? And
you can't.
That's why they did Crisis, to collapse everything.
It just... And I realized that, you know, it's kind of like power creep in magic, which is a separate, but if you keep building on everything for so many years, it's just crazy. And I'm like, if I was trying to read these comics over any period of time, my eyeballs would probably bleed because I follow Heliod, I follow Aferia and, order and structure, and I like to figure out movies and books. And when things just don't make sense, it drives me crazy. If there's too many Deus Ex Machina, or just, oh, well, we'll tell you what really happened later. So.
Yeah. All the Different Earths didn't start as an actual thing. It was just their way to explain away the decades of a bunch of different authors, not even trying to have a unified continuity.
Okay.
And well, I think depending on who you talk to, different people will have favorite runs of a comic and not the entire universe. Like, gotcha. A lot of the guys I work with, they like the so-and-so's run of this, of Superman or Batman or whatever, and that's the only one they really run with. Because again, like, Superman had one run where he went the speed of light. And, you know, so it's like, okay, so the cartoon where he doesn't fly the speed of light, so how does that work? You know?
I guess maybe that's part of my problem, and I think you guys have explained it away pretty well, is that I tend to look at these characters as static, and they're not static. So, but I think I actually appreciate it a little more getting, I'm not gonna go back and get completely caught up, because honestly, while I enjoyed it somewhat, I just don't care all that much. but it was kind of neat to go back and say, oh, this is actually this person. Or, you know, this was, I watched the X-Men comics. This is what Phoenix actually represented. I meant cartoon, and this is how she was actually portrayed in the comics, and here's the differences and blood and whatever. But I'm glad that I'm not making myself go back and read a lot of these because, whew.
You would, I don't think the continuity between insane. The cartoon series and the comics is well, all that great.
Well, between that, but even just from the one comics to the next, especially again over a long stretch of time. I'm sure the writers have done the best job they possibly could, but the person in me, I don't know if it's the Melvin or whoever that wants things to kind of add up to something, would probably go and die. So, mm-hmm. Comics interesting.
For the record, though, Brian, if you ever want to read the Infinity Gauntlet, I have it in trade paperback. It's brilliant. It's Sweet. Easily one of my favoriteest comic stories ever written.
I only had the one issue, which I think was kind of in the middle, and he's like, uh-oh, the Celestials are coming. And I was like, that sounds great. And then I never got the next one. So.
It was a six-issue miniseries that, so, when I saw Thanos, okay, I don't think I said this. When I saw Thanos, mad spoilers, but it's old now. When I saw Thanos at the end of,
Avengers.
The end of the credits in Avengers, or was that at the beginning? That was at the beginning of the credits.
That was the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, that. I lost my whole, I can't say on the show. Like, you just don't know. My jaw dropped, almost pooped, had tears in my eyes, because Thanos has been my favorite comic book character, not just bad guy character, since I was just a wee thing. And so seeing him on the big screen there, I almost died, I'm not gonna lie. And it was touch and go there for a while. And so,
and yeah, I don't,
I've got lots of old Thanos stories,
and I don't even read comics, but like I said, that my brain retains useless knowledge. Carrie jokes about it all the time, but it's completely true. I can tell you about what happened in season 3 of this show that I really liked.
Yeah.
So I saw that and I'm like, that looks like Thanos. And I have read like one comic book and he was a kick-ass character in it. So, hey, look at that. You know, you who have read lots and I who have read very, very little have common ground.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we sort of derailed the whole show there, but it was worth it because...
Well, that was pretty much my final thought. If my final thought can be summed up in anything, it's that comics seem really interesting, and the couple I've read have been great. But, man, so much history. Head explode.
Oh, your head explode?
Just a little bit.
Fair enough. Word? Well, I guess that's me then. And... I don't know, I got nothing. I already did the Kickstarter news. I've got stuff. I've been playing way too much Hearthstone lately.
I was on the other night. I didn't realize that it gave notifications, but I was on the other night. I wasn't feeling great. I had just started to come down with this cold, and I was just waiting to see if I'd feel better. And it popped up, and it gave me a notification that you opened a legendary creature. It's like, should we just open Captain Greenskin? And I'm like,
yay.
For you? Sweet. And I looked over and it's like, Chewy is busting packs. And I'm like, awesome, I'm gonna go to bed now. That's awesome though. I just opened one of those too, and now I feel a little less special. But, you know, that's okay. You're allowed to have one too.
Why do you guys have such infinitely better stories of opening stuff in Hearthstone than I do? This BS.
I don't think Captain Greenstone count or Greenskin counts.
He's pretty cool. A little while ago, I'm hijacking his final thought here. A little while ago, I got a little tired after I finally beat all the modes of Noxoramus, whatever.
Noxoramus.
And I got the card.
Kirk's like, I've been doing that raid, that instance for years.
It's Noxoramus. I can tell you, it's Noxoramus.
After I finished that, I was like, all right, well, there's no cards I'm looking for right now, but I wanted to update some of my decks. So what I started doing was, instead of just opening a booster at a time, I started saving up boosters, and when I got to 5, I'm like, all right, I'll go ahead and open these. And the second one I opened had a rare, a purple one, which is an epic, I guess, and a foil, a shiny legendary. And I'm like,
damn.
Okay, is this because I waited? Because if so, then I'm going to wait until I have 10 boosters all the time now. And then my next pack had a normal, not shiny Captain Greenskin. I'm like, you know what? That's awesome. That's great because I just don't have that many legendary creatures. I still think Chewie opens more than anyone in the world for the amount of time you've been playing. It's crazy. I just opened my first gold one ever.
Dirt, get out of Hearthstone.
And I've been playing.
I'm updating.
For months, and Chewie was like his second booster. So, which is great. Don't get me wrong. I don't begrudge you that, and I love the fact that you were able to then refine it into all this other great stuff. But you got the mad skills.
I like the way I typed legend in, and it didn't give me any. Yeah, I have two, so.
Well, you had one, and you turned it into a lot of other stuff. So
yeah, I did get the shiny legendary that I still have like 500 dust left over from that. So
I'm holding on to mine, even though it's the one that I'm not as fond of, and it's actually class specific.
Who is
I'm
it?
I'm holding on. It's the druid one. That gives all your guys +2/+2, or gives you two twos with taunt. So. Nice. I mean, he's pretty nice, and it's so beautiful. I'm like, I could turn you into anything.
But pretty.
Yeah. So I'll have to wait until I open a second one, and then I'll refine him into, like, a Deathwing. The chances of that happening are, like, you know, one in a lot. But so anyway, continue with your final thought. You've been playing too much Hearthstone. Clearly, I haven't.
That's, that's actually all I got. Because I already talked about everything else I was going to talk about. I'm really considering, because Magic Online, I've never actually liked Magic Online, so Magic Online isn't for me even before it sucked. Apparently it sucks now. I really enjoy Duels. I don't want to play Duels yet because I haven't quite worked out how to record it. I really want to do like videos for Duels. But Hearthstone is a nice way to fill that time. Like, I'm like, oh. Like earlier today, I was waiting on Monday Night Magic to export, and I don't know why, but it was like, I'm gonna take all damn night to export. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna play a couple games of Hearthstone. And I did. And I suck. I managed to break into rank 12 for a second. And I can't, like, it was like, hey, I'm rank 12! And now I'm 13, and now I'm 15. But.
I don't think I've ever gotten higher than 14.
I will get on a run where I am, you know, like, bonus streak, and then I'll take the same deck, and I will lose, like, 10 in a row, and I'll be like, ah, why do I exist? Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Dirt, get off of Hearthstone.
Yeah, my friends list consists of these three, Squanto, and Chris Lansdale. So.
Mine is just those three, so.
So yeah, I apologize for anyone that I've infected or that we've infected with Hearthstone. Will from CommanderCast cussed at me on Twitter. Like, damn you, Chewie, now I'm playing Hearthstone. Like, don't blame me, man. Ain't my fault. I really want to take a look at the different classes and compare them to colors. I think that would actually be really, really interesting, and it might help me play them better if I realized how to play them better. But oh well, that's all for not this episode. So, this has been, what did we determine? 341. Two. Yeah, ish. 342.
342 coming up on the big 350.
Oh god, don't remind me. Jesus. We're so old. And I mean that, we're so old. And yet here we are just talking about some other game. Lord have mercy. So, this has been episode 342 of the Mana Pool. Thank you all so much for listening, and go play some Magic. Hey, maybe I'll sleep tonight. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be good.
That'd be pretty cool.